Today is the third day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. It's a joy, actually. It's a joy. It's one of the joys of life to be able to sit together around the global campfire. So I'm glad we can be here together. We always come here for a specific reason, and that's the scriptures. And so let's get to those. Today, we will read from the book of Deuteronomy and picking up where we left off. Chapter 23, 24, and 25 today. A man whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off may never join the assembly of the Lord. A man born from an illicit union may not join the assembly of the Lord. No descendant of his may join the assembly of the Lord for 10 generations. Ammonites or Moabites may not join the assembly of the Lord. Not one descendant of theirs may join the assembly of the Lord for 10 generations. They cannot join because they didn't greet you with food and water on your trip from Egypt. They even hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor, and Aram Naharaim to curse you. But the Lord your God refused to listen to Balaam. Instead, he turned Balaam's curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. Never offer them peace or friendship as long as you live. Never consider the Edomites disgusting. They are your relatives. Never consider the Egyptians disgusting. You once were foreigners living in their country. Their grandchildren may join the assembly of the Lord. When you're at war and have set up camp to fight your enemies, stay away from anything that will make you unclean. If one of your men becomes unclean from a nocturnal emission, he must go outside the camp and stay there. Toward evening, he must wash, and at sunset, he might come back to camp. Choose a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. You must carry a pointed stick as part of your equipment. When you go outside to squat, dig a hole with it. When you're done, cover up your excrement. The Lord your God moves around in your camp to protect you and hand your enemies over to you. So your camp must always be holy. This way the Lord will never see anything offensive among you and turn away from you. If a slave escapes from his master and comes to you, don't return him to his master. Let him stay with you and live among your people wherever he chooses, in any of your cities that seems best to him. Never mistreat him. No Israelite man or woman should ever become a temple prostitute. Never bring gifts or money earned by prostitution into the house of the Lord your God as an offering you vowed to give. These earnings are disgusting to the Lord your God. Never charge another Israelite any interest on money, food, or anything else that is borrowed. You may charge a foreigner interest, but not an Israelite. Then the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do once you've entered the land and taken possession of it. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't avoid keeping it. The Lord your God expects you to keep it. You would be guilty of a sin if you didn't. If you didn't make a vow, you would not be guilty. Make sure you do what you said you would do in your vow. You freely chose to make your vow to the Lord your God. If you go into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat as many grapes as you like until you're full, but never put any in your basket. If you go into your neighbor's grain field, you may pick grain by hand, but never use a sickle to cut your neighbor's grain. This is what you must do if a husband writes out a certificate of divorce, gives it to his wife, and makes her leave his house. He divorced her because he found out something indecent about her and she no longer pleased him. She might marry another man after she leaves his house. If her second husband doesn't love her and divorces her, or if he dies, her first husband is not allowed to marry her again. She has become unclean. This would be disgusting in the Lord's presence. Don't pollute with sin the land that the Lord your God is giving you as your property. A man who has recently been married will be free from military duty or any other public service. For 1 year, he is free to stay at home and make his new wife happy. Never let a family's handmill for grinding flour, or even part of a handmill, be taken to guarantee a loan. The family wouldn't be able to prepare food in order to stay alive. Whoever kidnaps another Israelite must die. The kidnapper must die, whether he treated the other person like a slave or sold him. You must get rid of this evil. Guard against outbreaks of serious skin diseases. Be very careful to do exactly as the Levitical priests instruct you. Make sure you do what I commanded them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on your trip from Egypt. When you make a loan to your neighbor, don't go into his house to take a security deposit. Wait outside, and the person to whom you're making the loan will bring the deposit out to you. If the person is poor, don't keep the coat you took as a deposit overnight. Make sure you bring it back to him at sunset. When he wears his coat to bed that night, he'll bless you. You will have done the right thing in the presence of the Lord your God. Don't withhold pay from hired workers who are poor and needy, whether they are Israelites or foreigners living in one of your cities. Pay them each day before sunset, because they are poor and need their pay. Otherwise, they will complain to the Lord about you, and you will be condemned for your sin. Parents must never be put to death for the crimes of their children, and children must never be put to death for the crimes of their parents. Each person must be put to death for his own crime. Never deprive foreigners and orphans of justice. Never take widows' clothes to guarantee a loan. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God freed you from slavery. So I'm commanding you to do this. This is what you must do when you're harvesting wheat in your field. If you forget to bring in one of the bundles of wheat, don't go back to get it. Leave it there for foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. When you harvest olives from your trees, never knock down all of them. Leave some for foreigners, orphans, and widows. When you pick the grapes in your vineyard, don't pick all of them. Leave some for foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. So I'm commanding you to do this. This is what you must do whenever two people have a disagreement that is brought into court. The judges will hear the case and decide who's right and who's wrong. If the person who's in the wrong deserves to be beaten, the judge will order him to lie down. Then the judge will have him beaten with as many lashes as the crime deserves. 40 lashes may be given, but no more. If an Israelite were given more than that, he would be publicly humiliated. Never muzzle an ox when it's threshing grain. When brothers live together and one of them dies without having a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother must marry her and sleep with her. He must do his duty as her brother-in-law. Then the first son she has will carry the dead brother's name so that his name won't die out in Israel. But if the man doesn't want to marry his brother's widow, she must go to the leaders of the city at the city gate. She must say, "My brother-in-law refuses to let his brother's name continue in Israel. He doesn't want to do his duty as my brother-in-law." Then the leaders of the city must summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying that he doesn't want to marry her, his brother's widow must go up to him in the presence of the leaders. She must take off one of his sandals and spit in his face. She must make this formal statement. This is what happens to a man who refuses to continue his brother's family line. Then in Israel, his family will be called the family of the man without a sandal. This is what you must do when two men are fighting and the wife of one of them comes to rescue her husband from the man who is beating him. If she tries to stop the fight by grabbing the other man's genitals, cut off her hand. Have no pity on her. Never carry two sets of weights, a heavier one and a lighter one. Never have two kinds of measures in your house, a larger one and a smaller one. Use accurate and honest weights and measures. Then you will live for a long time in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Everyone who uses dishonest weights and measures is disgusting to the Lord. Remember what the Amalekites did to you on your trip from Egypt. They attacked you when you were tired and exhausted and killed all those who were lagging behind. They weren't afraid of God. So when the Lord your God gives you peace from all your enemies around you in the land that he is giving you as your own property, Don't forget to erase every memory of the Amalekites from the earth. Luke 10:13-37. How horrible it will be for you, Chorazin. How horrible it will be for you, Bethsaida. If the miracles worked in your cities had been worked in Tyre and Sidon, they would have changed the way they thought and acted. Long ago, they would have worn sackcloth and sat in ashes. Judgment Day will be better for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to heaven? No, you will go to hell. The person who hears you hears me, and the person who rejects you rejects me. The person who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 disciples came back very happy. They said, Lord, even demons obey us when we use the power and authority of your name. Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I have given you the authority to trample snakes and scorpions and to destroy the enemy's power. Nothing will hurt you. However, don't be happy that evil spirits obey you. Be happy that your names are written in heaven. In that hour, the Holy Spirit filled Jesus with joy. Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for hiding these things from wise and intelligent people and revealing them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what pleased you. My Father has turned everything over to me. Only the Father knows who the Son is, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son is willing to reveal him. He turned to his disciples in private and said to them, How blessed you are to see what you've seen. I can guarantee that many prophets and kings wanted to see and hear what you've seen and heard, but they didn't. Then an expert in Moses' teaching stood up to test Jesus. He asked, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered him, What is written in Moses' teachings? What do you read there? He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus told him, You're right. Do this, and life will be yours. But the man wanted to justify his question, so he asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, robbers stripped him, beat him, and left him for dead. By chance, a priest was traveling along that road. When he saw the man, he went around him and continued on his way. Then a Levite came to that place. When he saw the man, he too went around him and continued on his way. But a Samaritan, as he was traveling along, came across the man. When the Samaritan saw him, he felt sorry for the man, went to him and cleaned and bandaged his wounds. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, the Samaritan took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. He told the innkeeper, Take care of him. If you spend more than that, I'll pay you on my return trip. Of these 3 men, who do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by robbers? The expert said, The one who was kind enough to help him. Jesus told him, Go and imitate his example. Psalm 75. For the choir director, Al Tashketh, a psalm by Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. You are present, and your miracles confirm that. When I choose the right time, I will judge fairly. When the earth and everyone who lives on it begin to melt, I will make its foundations as solid as rock. Selah. I said to those who brag, don't brag. And to wicked people, don't raise your weapons. Don't raise your weapons so proudly or speak so defiantly. The authority to reward someone does not come from the east, from the west, or even from the wilderness. God alone is the judge. He punishes one person and rewards another. A cup is in the Lord's hand. Its foaming wine is thoroughly mixed with spices. He will empty it, and all the wicked people on earth will have to drink every last drop. But I will speak about your miracles forever. I will make music to praise the God of Jacob. I will destroy all the weapons of wicked people. But the weapons of righteous people will be raised proudly. Proverbs 12:12-14. A wicked person delights in setting a trap for other evil people, but the roots of righteous people produce fruit. An evil person is trapped by his own sinful talk, but a righteous person escapes from trouble. One person enjoys good things as a result of his speaking ability. Another is paid according to what his hands have accomplished. Okay, so yesterday we were talking about the Gospel of Luke and learning how to shake it off. And there was something there for us to consider. And Jesus is continuing forward with this thought. And it's, again, something's there for us. Because we can think about shaking it off and the injustice of just constantly living this life where it's a losing game. We're only going to ever be walked on. This is what we're signing up for. We're just lambs among wolves. We're going to just be attacked all the time. And so we need some perspective of what's actually going on to give us any compelling reason to want to do that. Who wants that? It wants to be a lamb among wolves for no reason. And why do we have to forgive? Why do we have to shake it off for no reason? So Jesus says today, look, anybody who accepts what you're saying is accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. So there's some perspective. Because that tells us that we're not sent as lambs among wolves alone for no reason. We're carrying light on behalf of God into darkness. Lambs among wolves. We're carrying the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it isn't about us. It's not about a person who will accept you as their savior and follow in your footsteps and think you're cool. And also, though, if the light in you is rejected and scorned, then this rejection isn't about you either. Jesus is saying a person who rejects the light is rejecting God. So often when we feel this light, right, that we can't shake it off, that we need vengeance in some sort of way, we're going to care for our own heart, right? We're going to care for our own heart because we tried to bring light and that didn't work out. And so we're going to turn our attention on ourselves and care for ourselves and get our vengeance in whatever secret little tiny way we can get it back. What if think about it for a second. God, creator, the reason that we're here, God came here. He came here and got all of humanity handed to him on a silver platter. He got rejected. He got humiliated. He got executed. All to simply come and say, look, there's a better way to do this. Come to me. I'll show you the way to life. I'll show you how to do this. Walk in the light. Come out of the darkness. Get away from your secrets. Be true. You don't have to do this. And so we did what we do, right? We kill people like that. And so, imagine now, creator of the universe, billions and billions of people over all of these generations, wanting to know and be known, facing rejection, on the constant, never ending, always, always being rejected by his creation. I mean, what if we turned our affection toward God instead of ourselves? That's such a devotional thing. But imagine what God must, like, imagine what rejection feels like for us. And imagine the ways that God is defamed, that his hope for humanity is hit by the dark evil of humankind. Imagine the blame that he takes for things he did not do, that we even blame him for. So if we think about it in those terms, if we think that we have to face all of that, we would be crushed. But God came to set us free. We still want the darkness more. How heartbreaking could that possibly be if you died for something and still the darkness advances? We are his hope. We are his ambassadors. We are the ones who are still here to say there is a better path. Our vengeance is not worth it. It's not really about us. And that's supposed to be like everything about our lives, because we're supposed to be fully immersed, like fully love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, kind of fully committed. And if we are, and we find rejection, then in those moments, it is not us that is being rejected. It is the light. And it's God that's being rejected. And so maybe it sounds weird. Maybe it's a weird idea to think that walking with God today could be your outpouring of empathy for his heart. That maybe he cares for you deeply, but maybe he wants to be cared for deeply. Because what he's offering is a relationship, right? And isn't that how they work? And so maybe spend time today, not for your daily vent, your venting session, not all that he needs to get done for you. Maybe your problems. Maybe just, what if you could bring joy to his heart today? Might be true that we don't need vengeance at all. And so Holy Spirit, come into that. We're hearing what you're saying. We're listening to these words, Jesus. They're close to home. We're in this story. We get it. And so we see it. And that's really what you wanted, is that we would open up our eyes and have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so our eyes are open for this moment. They'll close back. Life is too fast. It's intended to keep us with our eyes closed. But we're seeing that maybe it's not worth it to close our eyes and go back to sleep. And so come, Holy Spirit, and show us how to live true. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And so check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible app. If you don't have that yet, you can get it from the App Store that works with your device. And check out the different sections, like the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there to take the journey in lots of different directions as we make this trek across a year and across the Bible. Different resources to take the journey deeper. I think right now of the resource called Reframe. As a bit of a deep dive into relationship, into this relationship, that we open our eyes to the relationship, that what it actually means to be in a relationship with God. And so that is there. if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible. You can do that at dailyaudiobible.com as well. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey guys, it's Spark. I wanted to call and say a prayer for Saved Anonymously. Excuse me, brother. Sorry to hear what you're going through. I just ask that you remember that same gift that you got, that you were saying how God and this changed your life, and remember that you're changing lives as well. And prayer is a powerful thing, and you came to the right spot. So let's get to it, brother. Father God, we come to you, and I ask that you be with Saved Anonymously. I ask that you help his friend's son on his last chemo treatment, God. I ask that you bring a miraculous healing, not only for this young man, but for his father and all that surround him. Lord, I ask that this healing, if it be your will, Lord, go ahead and be a sharing of faith. And that can be shown to let people know that going to you will heal. Lord, I ask that you be with his stepfather who's also suffering from cancer, God. We just ask that you be in a healing of that. Lord, help Saved Anonymously to brighten a day. Lord, it's better for people to heal if there's a brightness that you're guiding them towards, Lord. We ask that you be with his wife who is suffering from a kidney failure, Lord. Lord, this is easy for you, God. God, this is one of those simple things, Lord. We just ask that you heal this right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, last but not least, we ask that you be with his rebellious son. Lord, I was a rebellious son, and all he can do, God, help him to keep showing his son how much he loves the Lord and loves you and has faith in you. Lord, change these lives. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Hello, this is Michael Clements in Ridgeland, South Carolina. I listen to the Daily Audio Bible on a daily basis. First-time caller. My mom, who's going to turn 78 this year, and we recently found out she had a tumor on the brain. She's not herself. I would definitely like to reach out to the Daily Audio Bible family. You be lifted up in prayer. Now we're very concerned. She's in Charleston. She's in Charleston right now with the MUSC. I just ask that everybody in the community would lift her up in prayer. And I thank you in advance. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible listeners. I'm calling this morning just to offer some words of encouragement. I'm reminded every day when Brian reads the Psalms that God is not afraid of our emotions, that he wants us to share our hearts with him, and he wants us to share the things that maybe we're afraid to say. He's not afraid of those things, and that by sharing them, we are creating really intimacy with God, right? We're walking through those fears, sharing the thing that maybe we're not sure how God's going to take that, not sure what God's going to think about that, but he wants to hear it because he wants to respond. And by sharing, we're inviting the response. I know that, and I personally am going through a difficult time right now myself, but I've been doing this and I'm feeling God's response. I know that he hears and he's responding, and I'm encouraged. And I want to encourage you And I also want to remind you that God loves you so much. So much. And I know this. I know God loves you. And I pray that whoever listens to this, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you minister to that person and that they would feel your love flowing through their veins like a mighty river. God loves you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, this is Greg from Washington, and I wanted to give a shout out and pray for, I believe his name's Joe. He called and said that he was ADHD and he could not get through the Bible on his own, and praised the Daily Audio Bible as the best thing that's happened in his life. Yeah, I believe that's what he said, and I'm going to second that. It wasn't for DAB and DABC, I don't know what I would do. It's been one of the biggest blessings in my life that I can even know, that anybody could know. So, brother, dear Lord, be with this man, with his family, with his friends that are battling cancer, with his youth, and with his strong faith. Enforce his faith. Give him strength. Give healing to the people in his life, and give solace and peace, and at the very least, that they may come to know you, Yeshua, who has given us life eternal if we accept his gift. Thank you for your prayer. Be with Joe. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.